The Steelers made two trades for an offensive lineman and an outside linebacker. Where those guys fit in and how the 53-man roster did play out. I'm Chris Carter of the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'll break that down with Wes Euler of Steeler Nation Radio. It's going to be a fun episode here. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on this video. If you enjoyed, hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find candidates that want to talk to you and get them faster. Post your job free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNFL. Joining me today, as I said earlier, our man Wes Euler back in the saddle. This is also kind of cool. This is the Wednesday episode, which means if you're listening to or watching this on a Wednesday, that means tomorrow it goes down. The backyard brawl. I tell you, Wes, if Pitt beats West Virginia, you got to take down that beat Pitt sign and never do a video with it again until the next time they play. There you go.
Listen, I want to be clear with that too. I've shared this before here on Locked On, but I do a couple different WVU podcasts that are, you know, on video and In the Gun and Ears and Beers, two separate In the Gun's just a football one. Ears and Beers, we do all WVU sports, you know, mostly football and basketball. But this is a specific backdrop setup, whatever you want to call it for me, for the backyard brawl. I'm not going to, like, make sweeping changes, but I'll change things up a little bit every single week. So, yeah, the beat pit sign is just for the backyard brawl. Win, lose, they can't draw. I'm going to be changing it up going forward. Maybe I'll get a beat Kansas sign for week 2. You never know.
You never know. But let's get right into it. The Steelers get their 53-man roster. We'll break it down offense and defense. But I want to talk about these two trades that Omar Khan orchestrated, because he got guys who have been starters for other teams for pretty much nothing in the draft process, like seventh rounders in 2025 and things like that. And the first one, Malik Reed, outside linebacker for the Broncos, I thought was actually a pretty good signing. This is a guy who's had 15 sacks in his last 3 years, 13 in the last 2 years. He started 13 games in each of his last two seasons with the Broncos. He's been able to get pressures. He's forced fumbles. He's 6'2". He's approximately 235. He's your kind of ideal veteran, you know, 26-year-old third edge rusher guy. And I think that's exactly what they were going for. They weren't happy with Hamilcar Rashid. They weren't happy with all those other guys. And I think they finally got their man. And, Wes, I see a lot of people saying, oh, this is just going to be Melvin Ingram over again. I don't think so, because I think Malik Reed knows this is Alex Highsmith's job that he's going to be playing behind.
Yeah, Malik Reed, listen, there was a time where Melvin Ingram, you could argue, was the best edge rusher in the NFL, or best pass rusher in the NFL, I should say.
He was in the top five conversation all the time.
He was in that top five, top three conversation for a point in time, not for a long point in time, but certainly for a point in time. Malik Reed has not been that. He's not been all pro level great. I think what he is, Chris, is very consistent. He's a consistent pass rusher. And if you're using him as your, you know, your third guy, your, to use a basketball analogy, your sixth man off the bench, right?
Yep.
That's what you want, is you want someone who is consistent at what they do, and what he does is rush the pass rusher at a very consistent level. That, to me, is exactly what you want there. It's exactly what the Steelers have needed there, have been crying out for, that we've all been discussing since OTAs, really, but certainly through the last few weeks of the preseason and before that training camp. I think this is one of those get better in the margin moves. You know, not everything that you do has to be an absolute grand slam, has to be the greatest transaction ever. Sometimes you can just get a little bit better, and I think, you know, with the addition of Malik Reed, the Steelers defense got a little bit better.
And backup edge was a major concern. You look back at some of those games. Hamilcar Rashid didn't get a pressure or a tackle or a sack in that last preseason game, despite playing a lot of snaps. I thought his lot of snaps meant like a really good thing for him. Turned out it really didn't because he didn't make the team. We'll get into that more in the next segment. But I want to talk about Jesse Davis, offensive lineman from the Minnesota Vikings. Really had played his entire career, 5 years of it with the Miami Dolphins, all 5 years. He was a starter for them. He started 16 games in 2021, 15 games. He started 72 games over the last 5 years. He's a starter. He's a tackle. He's 6'6". But my man, Luke Braun, who hosts Locked On Vikings, he hit me up on Twitter, and he was like, Chris, are you guys starting him? And I was like, is that a bad thing? Because they might need it. And he was like, just save up some aspirin for your guys, because if it is the case. And I mean, it's apparent. I mean, he signed with the Vikings this offseason, and I guess was so bad that they were like, we don't even want this guy. So they get like a super late draft pick, you know, 2 years down the line in return. But Wes, I think the bottom line is Mike Tomlin wasn't happy with what he saw on the offensive line with a lot of guys, even the backups. And they just need a body, an NFL caliber lineman there.
Yeah. And that's what they got in Jesse Davis. You alluded to it. You know, the reports from him throughout training camp in the last few weeks out of Minnesota and the people that cover the Vikings there haven't been great. But he is a guy with NFL experience. I don't think the Steelers made this move to try and bring him in to compete right away or anything like that. They certainly need depth on the offensive line, particularly at the tackle position. And, you know, my colleague Arthur Motes, he was arguing that he thinks Davis is actually a better fit at guard than at tackle.
I heard that as well, yeah.
But regardless, it's great. It's not great, but it's needed to have depth there at that position. They, you know, we'll talk about the roster and all those things, but with some of the decisions they made today, you know, you're really relying on a couple guys to stay healthy on that offensive line, it seems like. But now this gives you a little more leeway in that regard. And hey, change of scenery, all those things, you know, those are real for athletes too. Maybe there was something that, you know, we're all not hip to that was going on in Minnesota. Maybe it just wasn't the right fit anymore. Maybe he gets here to Pittsburgh, something clicks, and it ends up working out. But again, this is another one of those. I think it's a smart move. I think you get a little bit better in the margins and, you know, with the potential maybe a little bit higher of a ceiling there as well too.
That's certainly the case. It worked out for Montrevious Adams when they brought him in last year off of the Saints practice squad. And not everyone's going to turn in that way, but it's another body that they'll be able to test and see how it goes. You know, I also think it's interesting. A lot of people looking at Alex Leatherwood, a former first round pick from the 2021 draft, being let go by the Raiders. And that's a huge loss for them, because now I think they're missing their last three first-round picks that are not on their roster. Two guys gone because of discipline. Crazy. This guy gone because he's just not good enough. Now, a lot of people are saying
the three before that, did you see as well, too, just real quick, the three before those three, they didn't pick up the fifth-year option on any of them.
Oh, boy. That's some rough drafting
right
there.
That's some rough
drafting. When people complain because the Steelers did, oh, they wasted their seventh-round pick on Chris Olonekin. Okay. If that's your complaint, and you want to be mad, go ahead. But just know there's Raiders fans who have the last six first-round draft picks
they've missed on. Six straight.
That's just rough.
We blow our lid over Jarvis Jones.
Right. Which was 9 years ago now, which is crazy. The
Raiders would probably take a Jarvis Jones first-round career at this point.
They probably would, because he lasted longer than our last
three guys. At least he'd be on the roster
for
more than a year, yeah.
Yeah. So, I see some people saying that, oh, go get him. One, they're going to need to wait for him to clear waivers, because they don't want to pick up a first-rounder contract for a guy that's
salary.
Yeah, like you don't want that on your books. But if you were clear, maybe. But I think it'd definitely be a project. You'd have to. I think he's more suitable as a guard anyways, and maybe that's where he finds his hay. But I think that's still way down the road. Right now, the Steelers, they need to kind of focus on who they got and get ready for the Bengals next week. If he clears waivers, that'll be an interesting conversation. Maybe Najee Harris can work some magic and get his boy to come to the Steelers. But I'd be very curious to see if that happens and what kind of, you know, how much time it would take for him to get up to speed and challenge this offensive line. Granted, this offensive line hasn't challenged too many people so far.
I know he's got the pedigree. I know people remember the name from Alabama. I get it, all these things. There's not a shortage of a need for offensive line help around the National Football League.
Right.
I mean, you could probably count on one hand the amount of teams you would legitimately say, oh, yeah, that's a good offensive line. Not they're okay, not they're fine, not they've got one or two good players, but that's a good offensive line. There's maybe five in the NFL, really. Every team is in a similar position as the Steelers. Maybe not quite as bad in the trenches on the offensive side of the football, but almost right. Every team in the NFL legitimately could use offensive line help, including the Raiders. I mean, if they were willing to kind of cut their losses there this quickly, that to me isn't the greatest sign. Again, second chances, changes scenery, all those things are real for athletes, 100%. I just wouldn't be banging down the doors to try and get this guy to Pittsburgh. If it happens, great. If they think it's the right fit, sure. But I don't think anyone needs to be pounding the table at this point.
No, I agree. You don't need to rush out there. Like you said, if he wants to play in Pittsburgh and he doesn't want to take a whole lot of money to do it, sure. They need warm bodies in that offensive line room. But it's not a situation where they should go be breaking the bank just because, oh, he was a first round pick a year ago, even though he's on that team anymore.
And he knows Najee. Roll Tide.
And he knows Najee. Roll Tide. I can't believe you said Roll Tide when you're a country
road
guy.
I tried to do a little Southern accent there. Roll Tide.
I did. I picked it up. It's a little bit in there. I mean, you went to West Virginia. You guys got a little bit of Southern in you. A little bit of Southern in me.
Yeah, I mean, 6 miles over the West. 6 miles over the West Virginia border. I tell you what. I mean, I was wearing shorts in January, baby.
Oh boy. Anyways, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the offensive players who did make the roster. 7 wide receivers. Don't expect that to stick that the whole way through, but we'll talk about the intrigue in that and the moves made on the offensive line because 2 guys didn't make it that I thought would. But before we do all of that, first, we got to talk to you guys about our good friends at LinkedIn. Now, if you don't know about LinkedIn, this is the opportunity. If you're an employer, you're trying to gear up, you're trying to get people into your office, you're trying to get some new employees, LinkedIn has LinkedIn Jobs. It's going to make it easier for you to find the people that you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a free job post in just minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile, and that'll spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening options make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs #1 in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates that you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. We're also brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, if you don't know about Prize Picks, they're the fun new daily fantasy game that everyone needs to start playing right now. If you're big into fantasy sports, this is a way to get your daily fix by selecting individual player projections and making a simple decision whether they get more or less of a set number of yards, touchdowns, and other key fantasy stats. And it's easy. You simply pick 2 to 5 players that you think you have a beat on for their day in fantasy. Choose whether they'll get more or less on certain stats and make as many entries in Prize Picks as you want. You can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. You're not competing against others. It's just about guessing right on whether they get more or less. Prize Picks includes the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, college sports, and so much more. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. So be sure to use that promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, to get your 100% instant deposit match when you sign up at Prize Picks. Again, that's Prize Picks with the promo code Locked On, so you can bet just simply more or less on any player's achievements. Now, when we do back-to-back ad reads, we keep it rolling here. So Wes, let's get to looking at this offense now. The Steelers offense goes, okay, one thing we all knew, 3 quarterbacks, Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky. I did a whole segment on yesterday's show about it was obvious that they were never trading Mason Rudolph unless it was a super bargain for them. He's a luxury that they like to have, an experienced quarterback. We don't need to get into that. I've talked about that a lot. But I want to get your thoughts, Wes, on the running back room. Obviously, Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, I think everyone agreed. The question was, who else was sticking around? Because you couldn't keep too many running backs because then that would shorten up other important rooms. And they keep Benny Snell and Derek Watt. No Anthony McFarland, and a lot of people are concerned, would he have been a better option than Benny Snell or Derek Watt? Because Derek Watt didn't play a lot last year, and he's been hurt all through preseason. Was this a faux pas by the Steelers, or do you see logic in their reasoning?
You know, I was surprised. I was certainly surprised when I saw Derek Watt make the 53 man. Chris, I think you and I had this conversation back at during OTAs in May. With the way that they were using Connor Hayward, with the productivity and the playmaking ability and just the well-rounded skill set that he was showing already early in those settings, I wrote an article on ESPNPittsburgh.com about, I want to say, 4 or 5 OTAs practices in, saying I think Connor Hayward's going to make this team at the expense of Derek Watt. Because Derek Watt counts nearly $5 million against the cap this year.
He does. He's now, the second most expensive player as far as this year's money goes.
It's wild.
On the
it's
offense.
Wild. And he is very valuable on special teams. I'm not going to deny that. But for close to $5 million, that's a lot of money to spend on a guy that primarily contributes in special teams. So I just thought it would come down to a pure dollars and cents thing where the Steelers were like, hey, we think Connor Hayward can fill this role as long as he shows he can do specialty, you know, and we'll get him for about 1/10 of the cost, 1/8 of the cost, something like that.
Yeah.
So I was surprised by that. I thought that they would keep Anthony McFarland Jr. and that Derek Watt, who we haven't seen for weeks, it would be that classic you can't make the club in the tub thing.
Yeah.
That to me was certainly at the top of the list at you know things that I was not shocked by, but I was surprised when I saw initially, certainly.
I can't say I'm too surprised because this was my prediction. I put this in my 53-man prediction before, but there was a kind of a hope that Anthony McFarland would find a way on this team, and he still might find his way back to the practice squad, I believe, but it's just it's tough because he looked so athletic, and you want athletic running backs, and he's fast. He was quick, making guys miss. I know there's a lot of people that are disappointed, but special teams plays a big role in this. Benny Snell and Derek Watt looks good on special teams. Anthony McFarland, I believe he had a face mask call on a special teams play. How much do you want to bet that played a role in it? Mike Tomlin likes clean play, especially in his special teams, and that's a concern there. But now let's get to one of the bigger topics, the wide receiver room. I was saying all along, this was going to be Chase Claypool, George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, Calvin Austin, easy. But then it was going to be Garner Olszewski in the 5, Miles Boykin in the 6, and then Steven Sims and Tyler Vaughns, goodbye. Now, Tyler Vaughns, Cody White, they were cut. I do expect Tyler Vaughns to either be picked up by another team or come right back to the Steelers and be on their practice squad, or even be picked up by the Steelers and get put to the roster after some of these IR moves are made. Because Calvin Austin hasn't practiced yet. He's practiced, but he hasn't played in a preseason game yet. So there's some wonders if he'll be ready soon, and if not, do they put him on injured reserve? But, Wes, what do you think about this 7 receiver look? Because Steven Sims does make the roster, and he was a guy, I think he earned it. He caught a touchdown in the last game. He had a really good punt return in one of the games. He's had a really good jet sweep or two here and there. He's found ways to be successful, but was that enough to be 7 wide receivers when you could have kept a position at another spot?
If you would have told me back at some point during training camp, and you know, you and I saw each other, I'd say pretty close to every day out there. Maybe every other day we would see each other. You know, if you would have said, "Hey, Wes, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be 7 Steelers wide receivers that make this roster,"
I would have called myself a liar.
But I could have at least thought, okay, well, you know what? Anthony Miller, Miles Boykin, Gunnar Olszewski, and then obviously the 4 that have felt like locks the entire time.
Right.
Okay, hey, Anthony Miller having a really good camp. Miles Boykin, unique body type, right? And some potential upside there that we can all see and identify. I would have said, okay, I wouldn't keep 7. I'd pick 1 to say thank you and we wish you luck. But I also wouldn't be shocked. But now that, you know, Anthony Miller, unfortunately, is on IR, I'm surprised by this. Steven Sims, he's made plays, without a doubt. But just when you look at what you have in those 6, I just don't know if it was necessary to keep seven, particularly if you're going to be able to have someone like Tyler Vaughns maybe on practice squad. They have a lot of depth at wide receiver. That's never, of all the position groups that we've discussed depth being a concern, wide receiver has never even been close to that. In fact, it's been the opposite. I'm just a little surprised that they're keeping that many around. When Steven Sims, you know, it's not like he's going to be the special teams guy either, we don't think, because that's reserved for Gunner. We all believe, and we've all, you know, seen to this point. So I think the other thing that stood out, seven wide receivers, surprising, certainly.
Certainly. I don't want to spend too much time on this because the offensive line is important to tight ends. Not that they're not important, but that was exactly what we all thought. Freiermuth, Gentry, yeah. Hayward, Rader was gone. That was going to be that the whole time. But like I was telling you in the early part, in the mini camp and that stage of the thing, I was like, I don't see Derek Watt as a replacement of Connor Hayward. I think they have their own positions and they were going to be distinctly different. So I do think Connor Hayward, he earned a place on this roster. But the offensive line, this was perplexing to me. They kept seven wide receivers and they kept seven of the offensive linemen that they had in the preseason, adding on Jesse Davis. That means they only have eight offensive linemen. So I fully expect Omar Khan to make some more moves here.
Yeah, I was
here.
Gonna say something's gonna happen.
Something's gotta happen here. There's gotta be a chip to fall that we haven't seen yet. But you mean center wise, it's just Mesicola, JC Hasenhauer. At left guard, it's just Kendrick Green and Kevin Dotson. There's no backup right guard. There's only one backup tackle.
And he hasn't practiced yet with the Steelers.
And he just got there from the Vikings. That's Jesse Davis. Chukwuma Okorafor, Dan Moore Jr. are starting tackles. You have one backup guard, one backup center, one backup tackle. That is not going to fly for the Steelers this year. They're going to go get somebody else. I just don't know who or what at this stage of the game.
I'm with you. To me, this is like if this was a report card type exercise that we were doing here, this would be the incomplete.
The incomplete. Because, I agree.
Because I do not think, in fact, I'd be willing to, you know, if there was a line or something on this that we could gamble on, I'd be willing to say, you know, to bet that the Steelers offensive line, the eight that they have right now, you know, the seven that you mentioned have been with them and then Jesse Davis. That's not how they're going to go into, the second weekend in September when it's game week against Cincinnati. I think that's certainly a watch this space for Omar Khan and company.
Absolutely. We'll see what moves are made there. And I do think this offensive line, they need help. There's a reason they got Jesse Davis. And
no doubt.
He's not the anchor that's going to fix the offensive line, but he can be a guy that, hey, you know, if X person doesn't play to the level that Mike Tomlin's expecting, just know that there's a warm body behind you with lots of NFL starting experience who will push you. So I'll be intrigued to see how the offensive line responds to that and how much Jesse Davis does get to play. Do the Steelers make a move? Do they get Alex Leatherwood? We'll see about that in some time. We got to talk about the defense because there was also some interesting moves there, interesting keepings there on the defensive side of the ball. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on that. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Dave. Now, if you don't know about Dave, Dave is a banking app that's here to help you organize your day-to-day spending because sometimes it can be rough paycheck to paycheck, but Dave is here to help you out of a pinch when you really need it. Dave is a banking app that you can download right to your phone, and they can help you get up to $500 instantly with a feature they call Extra Cash. That's more money to fill your tank, buy a wedding gift, catch up on bills, and you can finally tackle those expenses that have been stressing you out without any hangups. And there's no interest and no credit check needed. It's just millions of people already downloading the Dave app to get the financial relief that they need with Extra Cash. So if you're in a pinch, you need some extra help, download Dave and think of it as a helping hand from future you. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. It's D-A-V-E, Dave. Sign up for an Extra Cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. For instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Wes Euler. Let's get into the defense a bit here. Now, let's start with up front, defensive line. Cam Hayward, obviously. Larry Ogunjobi, obviously. Tyson Alulu, obviously. Chris Wormley, Isaiah Loudermilk, DeMarvin Leal, all those expected. But Montrevious Adams, they held on him to the entire time. And to me, that should also be an obviously too, Wes, because – He got hurt early in camp. And he was a practice squad guy last year. They could have let him go. They could have said waived, injured, whatever. They waited for him. They waited for him. And they might still be waiting for him to get back up to speed. But they're that excited about him. And I think he's a bigger piece to this defensive line depth chart than people realize.
I agree with that. We all know he put together a run of some really nice performances last season when the Steelers desperately needed anyone to just do anything there along the defensive line. Yep. And I think in that time period, it's pretty clear that the Steelers saw something. You know, you bring in a guy from the Saints practice squad. It's not like he had, you know, a ton of game experience or anything. You kind of bring them in cold, right? And you throw them right into the chaos and say, we need you, here you go. And I think they saw something in that time period in him that they clearly identified that, you know, we like this guy and we think maybe there's some potential there. Not surprised at how many they kept along the defensive line either. Maybe there's some similarities and some parallels with the quarterbacks and keeping all three of those guys and then wanting to hang on. You know, the Steelers saw what they went through in 2019, where they needed three different quarterbacks and were still 8-5 at one point in the playoff hunt. I think last year they have some of those similar feelings about the defensive line, where Tyson Alualu's status was up in the air. You lose Stephon Tuitt's status was up in the air, pardon me, and Tyson Alualu, there we goes, goes down for the regular season in the first game of the year. I think part of this, you know, is them still remembering when they needed three quarterbacks just a few years ago, and them still remembering last year when they were decimated along the defensive line and picking guys up from practice squads and starting them that week. So there's rhyme to this reason, certainly.
Absolutely. I want to talk about the linebackers, because this was a tricky group to pick up. With the off-ball linebackers, I did think that they would keep five. They kept, of course, Miles Jack, Devin Bush, Robert Spillane, but who behind them was a little tricky. I thought they would keep Buddy Johnson and Mark Robinson, and you'd see Marcus Allen go because he's been hurt.
Yeah.
But they keep four. They just go with Jack, Spillane, Bush, and Robinson, and that's just who they have right now. Now, maybe they'll add another piece, but Mark Robinson jumps above Buddy Johnson, a fourth round pick from last year. And I think it was because he was hard nosed. It was because he was hit. He was fearless. He was throwing himself into situations with reckless abandon. I really think that he earned his spot on this roster. But also, I think that they ended on a high note for Devin Bush and Miles Jack as starters together because of that tackle for loss on fourth down that Devin Bush led and Miles Jack met him with. I think there's some good makings there, but still some questions about the rest of the depth of the group.
Yeah, absolutely. Good for Mark Robinson. You can't say he doesn't deserve it after what we saw from him in camp in preseason. But this is, you know, to only have four in that position when that's another position that we've been talking about depth concerns, you know, for a while is, you know, it's a little bit of a head scratcher at this point. You certainly, it's tough to see how things have gone with Buddy Johnson. You know, this was a guy who was
unfortunate.
An SEC, you know, starter for 3 years, defensive captain at A&M his last year there. One thing that I really liked about him, too, when the Steelers picked him up, he had high-level Division I offers to play quarterback in college as well, too. Not any Power 5 quarterback offers, but some G5 offers to play quarterback. Mm-hmm. So he had to decide coming out of high school, do I want to pursue quarterback? I think Tulsa was the school he said he would have gone to. Or do I go to Texas A&M and play linebacker? So he was clearly a guy who could think the game at a high level being that good of a quarterback in high school. So I had a lot of high hopes for Buddy Johnson. I did. It's surprising to see it go this way. I'm sure they're disappointed as well, too. It's not like he was a sixth or seventh round pick. You know, he was a fourth round pick, which is, you know, you want those guys to end up making the roster and at least sticking around for a few years. But good for Mark Robinson. He's earned it. And I think you're right. I think they like the Vince Williams vibes that he puts off, and particularly for a team that struggled to stop the run, you know, as of late.
Yeah.
It's always good to have a guy like that around.
Speaking of Vince or Bince, when he wanted to be a killer bee, he said that Mark Robinson as a rookie was better than him as a rookie. This is just about a week or two ago. We put that tweet on the show when he said that, and I was like, that's an endorsement. If you get Vince Williams saying that you're better than he was. But edge rushers, and we'll make this a little bit quicker because we got to get on to the secondary, but TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, Derek Tusco, the only ones they keep. And then they add Malik Reed. We talked about Malik Reed, veteran, solid. Tuska, you know, kind of like your Anthony Chiccolo on the squad. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm crazy in saying this. I could still see them add one more player. Quincy Roche, a guy that they thought was going to be able to stash on the practice squad.
He was just another popular one on Twitter.
So he's one that a lot of people are looking at. I would not be surprised if the Steelers kicked the tires on him and said, hey, come in and battle it out with Derek Tusca. Let's see how that goes. Cause they wanted him from the jump. And it's interesting to me. He couldn't keep a job after he left, but I would give Quincy a call and just see, hey, what's it going to be like when he comes in? What kind of shape is he in? How does he challenge a Derek Tusca type? And then just go from there and see what happens. But edge rusher, they need depth there because they need to be able to get after the quarterback at all downs.
They do. I think if all goes according to plan, Malik Reed, again, is your good third guy there. So you would not panic with Derek Tusca as your fourth. That's not any reason to panic. That's not great depth, but that's also no reason, you know, to be all concerned about it either. But I think you're right. I think they'll still, you know, leave no stone unturned in that regard, as Mike Tomlin would say. They have done shopping, you know, at a lot of the same positions ever since training camp started, with bringing guys in and out. You know, we've talked about that at running back. We've talked about that at offensive line. Certainly edge rusher has been one of those as well, too. And that's another thing that I would expect to continue, you know, right up to Cincinnati, maybe even beyond that. You should feel much better now about the edge rushers as long as Malik Reed is as advertised and continues that consistency buzzword that I said 37 times in the first segment. You feel good there, but you still do, you know, want some competition for your fourth spot. And as well, mm-hmm. as Tuska knows the system and you're comfortable with him, why not, you know, continue to just make him earn it?
Before we go, let's go to the secondary and get these guys. We're going to do these guys in bulk. 10 defensive backs they keep to start. 5 corners, 5 safeties. In the corners, you got Akello Witherspoon, Cam Sutton, Levi Wallace, obviously. Arthur Mollett, their extra slot guy that's going to be out there. And James Pierre fighting his way to the bottom of the cornerback depth chart. No Justin Lane, no Chris Steele, none of those guys. But I think it's a good sign for the corners that they're going to have a lot of guys who are experienced. All these guys got about 3, 4, 5 years of experience in the NFL. It's going to be something they can bounce off of each other, trust each other, and move forward together. The safety room, though, really interesting. Of course, Minkah Fitzpatrick, of course, Terrell Edmonds, and of course, Trey Norwood. But they keep both DeMonte Casey and Miles Killebrew. Killebrew's been nursing an injury since the start of training camp.
Yeah.
And now you got DeMonte Casey, who looks like he's headed to IR with a wrist arm injury. And he's going to need, you know, surgery, and he's going to need time off. You're not sure if it's season ending, but it's a rough one because they were very excited about him being the dude that helped them be flexible at the safety position. Wes, were you surprised at some of these defensive back moves? And what's the plan with the IR? Do you see both Killebrew and KZ going down and then a ready replacement being out there?
I think both of those guys are going to go on IR. Killebrew, I get it. Another one that we all knew could have gone either way.
Another one.
He's a very valuable special teams contributor as well, too. And we know that with Coach Smith and with Coach Tomlin, they both value those things, certainly. I expect both those guys, though, on IR, and you got to bring somebody else in. So, I mean, we all know, right? This is the time where the Steelers signed Joe Hayden for him to come play safety. Right, Chris? Right?
No? I'm just laughing.
Not right.
I'm disappointed in you. Right. This is Tony Serino's bit. You give him.
Oh, no.
You stepped on his whole thing.
Stolen
he was
valor.
Gonna do this tomorrow, probably.
It's like,
no.
It's like when our buddy Zach Smith tweets me 13-9, and I'm like, no, wait a second. That you stolen valor from Chris Carter. That's, there. All right, he's
no,
the only 13, one who's allowed to tweet that at me randomly.
13-9 is like 13-9 is like the ABCs and Twinkle Star and Jingle Bell. There's no copyright on them. You can use them on any radio show you want. Just it's free rights
but
to
only
everyone.
You're allowed to bring it up out of nowhere. Like, I'll tweet about, oh, man, I just had an amazing Italian sandwich for lunch. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, I heard they put 13-9 tomatoes on that thing.
I do. Just come
you're the only one who's allowed to do that. All right?
Okay. I'll take
for
that.
All week,
title.
I'll take it from everybody.
The Yoshi bunk is mine. But the 13-9 that belongs to everybody. But I feel you on this. I wouldn't be surprised if they both these guys go on IR and then they go get someone else, maybe a Joe Haden. You know, see when he's kicked the tires. What you gonna lose? I don't think they need Joe Haden for corner though, because they got a lot of veterans there already, and all these guys are young.
They need
young
a safety.
And athletic.
Yeah,
right. So
it's tough because it's tough too because you thought you were very going into camp. You were very confident of your depth. It might have been right behind wide receivers, position groups you were most confident in terms of the depth, and then you lose. You know, Carl Joseph, KZ, Killebrew. It's been rough in that regard, certainly.
I mean, they were in my opinion that was the third, fifth and sixth best safeties on the team. So now you're down to your top two and your fourth. Mm-hmm. And whereas that's not terrible, you'd like to have your full complement. Yeah. It could be better. And that was part of what this roster was doing, was investing in all these other players so that they can be available, and it gave them that flexibility. So we'll see what other moves are made. I'm sure that Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin are on the phone right now as we're recording this, trying to get things on. I hope they can get on the phone with us someday. We'd love to tell them who to go sign and pick. But anyways, thanks again for checking out the Lockdown Steelers podcast. Oh, by the way, special teamers, not really much to say. Presley Harvin III, duh. Chris Boswell, duh. Christian Kuntz, duh. You knew all three of those guys.
Duke Kane represent, baby.
There you go. There you go. The Devils. The Blue Devils, is that what they – no, I forget what they – the Dukes.
My favorite
Dukes. What
college.
Am I saying? The Blue Devils. That was the Duke. I see. I got mixed up. I was messing up my brain, man. Hey, I'm working on 3 hours of sleep because yesterday was wild.
You thinking about Mike Krzyzewski over there?
Yeah, that's what it is, man. I'm totally thinking about Krzyzewski and how Pitt's gonna beat West Virginia up on Thursday. I was just messing with you. But anyways, I look. You saw. You got
they
excited.
Might, they might.
You got excited.
They might. I thought you were gonna say how Pitt's gonna beat up Duke in hoops this year. That's what I
mean,
I was
they might,
excited for.
They but. Might. Who knows?
Pitt. Don't tell any WVU people I said this, but Pitt might beat up on West Virginia Thursday. Don't tell anybody I said that.
You heard it. I'm clipping it and putting it on Twitter right now. It's too late.
I'm going to say that it's fake news if you put it out there.
Anyways, Wes, thanks so much for joining us here on the Locked On Steelers podcast and breaking down the roster. Let people can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Yeah, at Wesley Euler on Twitter. You guys, the loyal Locked On listeners here, you know by now, I host the Steelers Blitz with Arthur Motes at noon. You can get us Steelers website, Steelers app, wherever you get your podcasts, if you want those things on demand and on your time. Steelers Blitz with Arthur Motes at noon. If you are a Pitt or West Virginia fan and you're looking for, I don't know, about a 25-minute conversation, I think it was, between Chris and I about the Backyard Brawl.
Yeah.
That's up on my Ears and Beers podcast page right now and on YouTube as well, too, if you want to hear Chris and I yap all about Pitt and WVU and In the Gun podcast as well, too, now that I do for you tortured Mountaineer souls like me.
Do check out Wes. He's awesome with Steelers, awesome with Mountaineers. I look forward to seeing him on the battlefield when Pitt takes on West Virginia.
Our mascots has a gun, all right? So you just watch your step.
Yeah. Okay. Panthers eat unicorns. if you're an SNR fan, you know what we're talking about. Anyways, thanks so much, Wes, for coming on the show. I'm Chris Carter, host of the Locked On Steelers podcast. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can also read my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, where I write about Pitt Athletics. I've been writing about a lot of their charity work. Go check out one of our latest stories on work between the Alliance 412 and Country Roads Trust. They're the two NIL teams for both sides. They have worked with both Pitt football and West Virginia football to raise money for Ronald McDonald House. If you want to help out families, go there, donate, go to the article on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It'll be one of my latest. I also have my preview for the Backyard Brawl coming up Wednesday. So go check all of that out at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Check out the Locked On Steelers. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you enjoy this video on YouTube, hit the like button on this video. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes. If you want to help us out even further, go on Apple Podcasts. There's a 5-star review with a positive comment. Both at the same time, gets a special shout out to the show. Like this person, we got Timber with a dollar sign who says, number one for daily Steelers content. Chris, loved the episode while following the Jaguars game. Really insightful analysis to help someone like me looking to learn more. Always appreciated the extra effort to record the bonus post-game show, which was great. Thank you, man. Thank you, Timber, with a dollar sign. We got two more to read to finish out the week that we'll get to in the next episode. Thanks again to everyone for checking us out. I'm Chris Carter. He's Wes Euler. I'll be back on your screens and in your ears tomorrow, breaking down your Pittsburgh Steelers.